Good morning. Today, after church, there will be Sunday school for all age groups. And also on Wednesday at 6:30, you have the prayer and Bible study. And the discussion is about getting out of the boat. And it's been very, very good. And on Thursday, we have Crusaders. We are in desperate need of homework helpers. And also, we are at Crusaders. We need snacks for the kids. Even the Crusader teens, we also need snacks. On October 26th, we'll have the baptismal service. There are several individuals that will be getting baptized. The verse for today is out of Psalms 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. We have a card here from, it says, the Baptist Christian Church and friends, thank you for the flowers and the many prayers for me during the recent hospital stay. Thank you. Thanks also to Pastor Rich and Linda and all that came to visit in the hospital and at home. God is good, and I'm feeling better. Sincerely, Bob and Donna Adams. Good to see you back. At this time, since Pastor Rich is not here, let us bow in prayer and ask the Lord to minister to us.
The Lord has ordained his people to give so that God's work can be done. And this is an act of worship. So let's go to the Lord. Conrad, can you pray for this blessing on our offering?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the health, the energy that you give us to give back to you a portion of what you blessed us with. We just ask you that you be with all these people, take care of them, and bring them back again next week to be with us when the time allows. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Psalm 136, that's our scripture reading. All, please rise for that. And you have a very simple job to do. I'm going to read the first part of every verse here, and then you're going to respond back as they did in the days of the psalmist. And you're going to say these simple words. His love endures forever. And hopefully we'll have a crescendo, like right towards the end, that you'll just shout it out. His love endures forever. I want you to put on your thankful gratitude hats on today, because we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. And the people of Israel were very thankful for a lot of things. And I'm sure you can pull out of your memory all the great things God has done for you in the past, what he's bringing to you today that you can still be thankful for, and what he's going to do in the future. So let's respond to the Lord. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
His love endures forever.
with a mighty hand and outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the desert. Who struck down great kings.
His love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings.
His love
endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites.
His love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
His love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance.
His love endures forever.
His inheritance to his servant Israel. To the one who remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
And who gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Wow. Isn't that great? Isn't that powerful? Challenge for you young ones, write a psalm like this for current day events of what has happened in the past, what's going on today in your life, and what's going to happen in the future. And put at the end of each of those testimonies, his love endures forever. It's great, isn't it? God is good. Tom wanted to know if I was a wanderer or if I was going to stay up on the podium. Well, I'm a nomad. A nomad wanders. And my wife would tell you that I have Wunderlust. I like going here, I like going there, I like going everywhere. So I'll be here and there visiting with you, talking with you. When I give this sermon, I'm going to be preaching more to myself than to you because I need to hear this myself because there's some weighty decisions that I have to go through here in the next couple of days, very weighty decisions. So timing is perfect, isn't it, when you have an opportunity like this to share God's word? And when you know it, when we had our devotion today, we had no idea that on this particular day, this person who was giving the devotion in our book that we're reading from John Piper used the same Bible text that I'm using today. We had no idea about that. You can say, oh, that's a coincidence. Well, not with God. God doesn't work on coincidences. He works on his provident ways. And so let's come to this great provident God who cares for us, who loves us, who's our friend through Jesus Christ, who's given us the Holy Spirit to minister to each one of us in his way just for you so that you can bring him the praise and glory to his great name. That's the bottom line, folks. To bring praise and glory to God. Father in heaven, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us, who opened the way when it was closed, and the folks in the Old Testament ways, they kept coming to God through sacrifice, through the blood and offerings, until the eternal God came through Christ and died on the cross and opened the veil. When he died, the veil tore, and a miracle that occurred. And that miracle is that we can come into access to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Holy God of Israel. And we come worshiping him today and pleading, knowing that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, pleading for us, pleading, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, only you. And that you would use our ears, Lord, that you would use my mouth. And I would pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you may think that I should be in Canada right now because I was going to say Happy Thanksgiving to you. So I had to kind of check things out here because it's not Thanksgiving, it's Thanksgiving Eve. but it's in Canada. And some of you might think, well, preacher, were you supposed to be up in Canada? Were you supposed to go to Chicago and go north until you hit Canada and celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, quite honestly, I can't wait for November 27th to come. So I have to say happy Thanksgiving to you all. It doesn't matter if you're Canadian or if you're American or whoever you are on this globe, it's always right to give thanks to God. And I'll tell you where I find this in the Bible. It's very clear to me. We're not going to use this as our main text. We'll visit it later. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Listen carefully to this verse. You all can turn, if you'd like, to Psalm 50, because that's where we're going to camp today, Psalm 50. But Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is this always giving thanks? Is that subjective? Or is it whenever I'm in the mood? Is it one of those things that I would give thanks when the crops are coming in and it's a bountiful harvest, or things are going good at work, or things are going all right at school, and nobody's bugging me, the teachers aren't on my case, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a lot of good things that happen to people, and we have a tendency to be thankful during those times, but what about some of the bad or ugly times in our lives? How thankful are we? Because this Bible verse tells us giving thanks always for everything. Is that, that includes everything, doesn't it? And we do it to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the will of God. Because Ephesians 5:17, the context says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I believe the will of the Lord is that we give thanks always and absolutely everything. And I'm hoping that you'll be bold and come forward and share with me or share with the congregation how God has been good to you. Or really, am I asking that? No, I'm asking more, how thankful are you for not only God being good to you, but also when he brings certain things into your life that don't seem right? I could tell you something that's going on at work with me, that something's not right. And I've been having a real struggle with this, and what has pulled me out of the dump, or what could lead a person into depression, is being thankful. And we're going to learn how key it is to be thankful, not just on Thanksgiving, but absolutely every day. We're going to dig into the Psalms right now, Psalm 50, and we're going to talk about how we can be thankful even in the day of trouble and how we come to him in prayer. Psalm 50, and I'm reading out of the New King James here, so your version may be a little bit different in the NIV. Starts here by saying, the Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of from your folds, for every beast of the field of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountain and the wild beast in the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? And here's the key verse. offer to God thanksgiving. Some other versions say offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Then go down to verse 23. It reiterates the point of verse 15. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. I'd like to unpack this, and I won't go at a verse at a time. I'll just sort of take a little chunks along the way. But the first couple verses in verses 1 and 2 talk about God's control over creation. He made it in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. But it talks about how he has complete control of absolutely everything. And he is summoning the earth. This is like if you look at this whole text, it's like the whole earth is summoned, like a court case, is brought into court. And God is speaking to his people, summoning their attention, and saying, look what I've done. I created all of this from the rising of the sun. And he's doing this in the radiance of beautiful perfection. How often do we think of God in that way? When we think of him, are we aware of his glorious radiance? I know Pastor Rich, when he was telling me, when he was flying on the airplane going to Dallas, he said, we looked outside our windows and we saw such a beautiful sight of the cloud formation. And him and Linda, if I could just see his face, his jaws probably dropped down to the floor, just in awe. Now, I know you've had your awe moments of God, and I know that if you've been to a beautiful place like Hawaii or maybe on some mountaintop, you know, they tell you this mountaintop experience, and you say, oh, God, you're so great. And we're so thankful. But, you know, in the humdrum of life, as you're walking to work or going here or you're going there, and you've got A, B, C to do and D, E, F, and I got to get this done before bedtime, how thankful are we? How much do we include God in our lives? Or is it just that little smidget of time when we see his beauty wherever we're at? I believe God wants us to see him wherever we are, step by step, as Rich Mullins talked about, walking with him, being thankful with him, including him in every portion of our life. It's a hard thing to do. Hey, listen, I get it. I've been in the workforce since 2011 after being a pastor at Bell Center. And when you're at work and you got your mind on a lot of stuff, it's hard to focus on things to be thankful for. But God calls us to keep bringing ourselves back to him. Keep coming to him. And the text mentions in verses 3 and 4 that he's not going to be silent. As a fire devours before him and around him a tempest rage, he summons the heavens above. This is the court case picture that we are to see. He's summoning the earth that he may be judge of his people. And he's going to gather his faithful ones who he's made a covenant with by sacrifice. Now, picture yourself for a moment. You're at home or you're at work and you got a knock on the door and somebody brings a piece of paper. We've got a summons for you. You need to come to court right now. And you're trying to figure out, well, what on earth have I done? Well, I'd like to ask you the question, well, what on earth have you done for Jesus? One day we're going to be given an account of our things that we've done. I believe there's somewhere in the New Testament Jesus talks about that every word's going to be measured. Everything that we've done will be accountable for. So how have we reflected the glory of God? How have we shown Jesus to other people? We say Jesus is the answer, right? He's the one, he's our Savior. But are we showing him that way, that he can save? Has he saved you not only in your past when you made a commitment and you said, I trust in Jesus, and you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, but are you showing his saving power every day? Because he's just not Savior at the beginning of your salvation. He's Savior until eternity. How are you reflecting him? Verse 6 mentions that we are to show his righteousness because the heavens proclaim his righteousness for God, for he himself is judge. So how are we reflecting those right standards in our own lives? Are we kind of speaking out of both sides of our mouth? We'll say one thing on Sunday, but then on Monday we'll act differently. I mean, this is convicting for me. I'm putting a big mirror right here in front of me and asking myself the same questions. How am I reflecting his glory? How are we showing him, showing God, that we're living the way that he wants us to live? Are we showing that to others? Because the Bible tells us in Romans 2:5 that God's punishment is coming when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Well, what standards are we showing to others? Are we living that righteous standard of God? Are we, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through Christ, living that life as we ought? Because people will have to make a decision. Am I going to receive Christ or reject him? Because after they're dead, it's too late. And I've got a boatload of brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces on my side of the family who have never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. They've heard my testimony, and I pray that I have more opportunities to tell them more about Jesus, but I've got to show this righteousness wherever God puts me. Verses 7 to 15, God makes an appeal to his people. Again, this is the court case. He's appealing not that these people would be punished, but that the idea is here that he's telling them, I want you to offer yourself as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. He's saying, I don't need all these other things because all these animal sacrifices, you know, the people kept doing it, thinking that they'll do that, and then I don't have to obey God. I'll keep sacrificing, but I'll just do my own thing. There can't be that disconnect. God wants something, and he wants you. And we're going to go over three simple points. If you have your handout, I'd like to go over three important points, the three P's of what it means to offer your sacrifice to God. And I'd like to just encourage you to write down this on your paper so you can take it home, and there's a suggested prayer on the bottom as well. So I hope you take copious notes. But he wants to do something very important. Verse 15, and I'd like to read this in the ESV. It says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So the very first thing is present. You can write this down. Present or offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. This is how we can show true thanksgiving, is to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The Jews knew about sacrifice. 2 Chronicles 7:4-5. The Bible tells us that the king, this is King Solomon, and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 heads of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goat. So the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. Here they were, giving thanks to God. Everything was great. All their enemies were subdued. There was peace throughout the land. Israel was at the zenith, at the top of their game, and now they finished building the temple, and now they're offering sacrifice. So we have the king dedicating the temple, and they did this. for a specific reason, and that reason was to bring glory to God. Listen to the prior verse, 2 Chronicles 7:3. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. Now, during this worship service, just imagine if fire came down, and we could see the glory of God, what they call it, the Shekinah glory of God. It's that same fire that, remember, that led the people during the nighttime when they were in the wilderness, that the pillar of fire. There was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire in the nighttime. Well, this same Shekinah glory comes down in this worship service. And imagine if that happened here. How would you react? Amen, yeah. Bring it on, God. But wouldn't there be a whoa? Wow! God was being seen, and the people were just thanking Him. His love endures forever. But is it, I mean, let's say you had Job over for lunch after church, you had Job come over, and hey, Job. Tell me, have you been thankful lately? All this stuff happened to Job. All these terrible things. He lost his children. He lost his house. He lost everything. Job, what are you going to do? Well, you know what he did? He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even in that worst time of his life, he gives thanks to God. And I tell you, it is very humbling when you see a guy like that going through difficulty and still praising God. Now, did he have a lot of questions for God? Throughout the book of Job, you could see that he kept on asking. He kept on asking it, but he kept searching God. He kept on coming to God. And I believe that as people, we have to not be so subjective when things are going so well that we are only thankful during those times. We need to realize, you know what? God is working even in the difficulties. And that is very clear when you look through the whole corpus or through the whole body of Scripture, you see suffering is part of this human existence. It's the struggle that we all have. But James tells us that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. You know, the only way we could ever get to the point where we're going to be thankful is that if we have a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice. Didn't the Apostle Paul talk about a sacrifice in Romans 12:1-2? He said, I beseech you, Baptist Christian, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does God want? He wants all of you. He doesn't want just a little of this or a little of that, or you can't say to God, well, I've got this coveted thing here that I want to keep off in the closet, that's my thing that I want to do, but you can have everything else. Is he going to bless you? No. You've got to give everything to him, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I believe the key in all of our lives is to give it all, every moment that we have, and say, Lord, I am yours. And How can you do this at the workplace? One of the practices that I've been doing, working in the secular work field, is that every time I get a phone call, I'll use a very simple term. I'll say, "Good morning." That sounds kind of English. Instead of "good morning," "good morning." And nobody's ever questioned me. "Afternoon," "good morning," or "good afternoon." And I try to think of how could I use this conversation to point others to Jesus Christ. Now, I might not have an opportunity, but the idea is you're putting your frame of reference, your mind, and putting God first and saying, "God this, God that, God in everything." There's a great song that my wife and I love to listen to from the Gettys. It talks about, I think it's an Irish prayer that talks about God in front of me, God behind me, God's on the side of me, God all over around me, God encompassing you in every aspect of your life. Letting God take control, because he owns you anyhow, doesn't he? He created you, as Psalm 50 verses 1 and 2 mentioned. Jesus Christ gave himself entirely as a ransom for you. And then Paul says, "I beseech you by the mercies of God to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice." And that's, you know, that's a tall order for some of us, isn't it? But if you're going to give him thanks, if you're going to offer that sacrifice, there's going to be a price that you pay, and you say, "God, I want to be all in." Because in the churches of Jesus Christ today, especially in America, I don't think we're all in. We were talking about this with Marsh and Rich the other day. Some churches, like in Africa or in the Middle East, sometimes people have to walk for 2 to 3 hours to get to worship service. So they'll start like 6 o'clock in the morning, get there at 9 o'clock. Then they stay pretty much all day because it's such a long journey, and then they leave and walk the same distance. How much love do they have for Jesus? Now, does it mean, okay, so if I do all these things, all these quantity things, that I'm going to get a better stand with God? It's not about that. It's about them loving God so much that they're giving themselves completely, that complete sacrifice of thanksgiving. And boy, is their worship service exciting. Offer yourself to the Lord. That's point number one. Point number two, if you're writing this down, please, perform your vows or commitments to the Most High God. The NIV says, fulfill your vows. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, "He who sacrifices thanks offering honors me, and he prepares a way." I like how the ESV renders that a little bit differently. "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God." So ordering your way rightly means to be obedient to God's righteous standards. And the best way of doing that is how? I believe it's keeping your commitments to God's command, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through you through the power of Jesus Christ. Greatest commandment, you know it, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The two great commands. And how are we keeping those commitments? How are we fulfilling those commitments? Well, I don't know about you, but I struggle like you all. I mean, right now I'm going through a test at work. After 6 months of being there, they decided to say, after I got a mortgage and moved, pulled my stakes up from Michigan and moved to Illinois, to Chicago, they decided that your job is going to end at the end of the year. So
Does that make me be real sweet to my boss, who just really gave me somewhat a somewhat lame excuse that this job is too big for you, it's not the right fit, and that's all she said? Just those two statements. Nothing else. And said that, I'll give you a good reference. I'll make sure that you get the best reference ever. So it's kind of hard to show love for my neighbor. But you know what? I decided I'm a believer. I need to offer this to God, give this to God, let him take care of this. And she was shocked at my response because she said, well, think about your answer if you want to stay with us any longer or if you want to carry on until December. So I came back and I said, I don't know what's going on, but I feel God wants me not only to stay here, but to help you out as the best I can. And now I heard a recent sermon last week that said, I'm going to pray for my enemies and those people who are taking advantage of me, because now I found out afterwards that this boss actually wanted to bring her friend in, and I was only put there for 3 to 4 months just to bridge the gap because they had somebody starting a new practice in Northwest Indiana. So I was being used. But you know what? I decided this is brought into my life. God allowed it, and I'm going to use this as the best as I can to point him to Jesus Christ. And she was amazed. And she said, Herb, I don't know how, I've never met a person like you. And I said, well, I'm only doing this because of Christ who's in me. He's motivating me to do this. And I think she dropped her jaws quite a bit. She was on the phone, but the point is, I'm supposed to show his righteous standards, no matter what. And if I have offered myself to him, he's going to take care of me. And that's my testimony. And now a prayer. In this day of trouble, I have to find a job by the end of December, don't I? Rich Utterback said that he didn't want to leave here, so there's no opening here at Baptist Christian. But there's an opportunity that moves us further away from our children. We don't like that. And on top of that, I've got to keep up a mortgage, and I've got to find housing. So it's going to be a double whammy until we can rent it or sell it or whatever. So in this third point, we're seeing that we are to not only offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows of commitment, but we are to pray, especially in the day of trouble. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God is saying that when you go through this trouble, you will not only be delivered, that's a term called in some versions of the Bible, salvation. Salvation means to be delivered. God is going to take me out of this day of trouble, and he's going to deliver me to a better place. Now, will it be, in my opinion, in my flesh, the place I want to be? No, I'd like to be like maybe 2 blocks away from my grandchildren in the Detroit area or in Austin. But it's the place that he wants me to be in for his glory, for his honor. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus Christ and what's best for his kingdom, not my kingdom. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Obviously, I'm supposed to keep my commitments and keep being faithful wherever God has put me, as a husband, as one who works in the church, as one who's made commitments to God and live a life of integrity. I'm supposed to keep that, because God is going to be glorified in all this. And God is magnified even more when we bring it to Him in our day of trouble. Because I've had all sorts of opportunities to share with people how God is with me in this day of trouble. We know that He promises never to leave us, never to forsake us. So God is in all this. And I can honestly tell you that God is going to see me through, absolutely through everything. God is going to get the glory. And I close with this thought. You know, most preachers don't really look at their watch much, but is the end of the service at 10:30? Come on, somebody be brave and say yes. Preacher, you're going too long. Conrad, am I going too long?
Just right.
Just right, okay. I want to close with this thought, okay? I want you to think of yourself, I hope in this challenge, that I want you to dare to be a Daniel, or if you're a female, dare to be a Danielle. I like this person, Daniel, because he practiced exactly these principles that we're talking about. We know that Daniel was facing a ton of challenges. He was a person who was taken away from his homeland, and he was put in service of the king, and he was tried over and over for his faith. And I like one of these things that happened to him when he was having to give an interpretation to the king for something that he dreamt about. The king says, well, I want you to tell me not only my dream, but the interpretation. And all the wise men and all the people that the king had said, nobody can do that. But Daniel said, there is a God. He exalted him. There is a God who can do that. And after Daniel got the interpretation, listen to his thanks. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have not made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. He praised God. He pointed to him and was thankful. And another time, remember when Daniel was told that you can't pray anymore, you got to pray to the king? What was his practice? He prayed 3 times a day. He never stopped it. And he prayed to God. He got in trouble for that. And we have another opportunity here with King Darius, where Darius praises the God of Daniel because of what he was able to show. He reflected the glory of God in his own life. And that's what we are, right? We're ambassadors. We're his ambassadors to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and to share our words with others. But sometimes you need the right to be heard because people won't listen to a hypocrite, right? So you have to live your life in a way that shows that you're keeping his righteous standards. You're keeping your promises, like the second point I mentioned. But the key is, people are desperately looking for someone to show them what life is all about. And you have the answer. So don't sit on it. Get up and tell others. Or what does it say in Matthew 5? Don't hide it with a bushel, but uncover it. Be the light of the world that Christ has given you that commission to be. He is the light of the world, and he has given you that light to share with others. I close with this one little prayer. It's a suggested prayer. You can tear it off and put it by your refrigerator, but it simply says this: thank you, Father, for sending your Son as the perfect sacrifice to die for my sins. Forgive me for not being as thankful as I ought. I offer myself to you today, keeping my commitments and staying close to you in prayer, especially in this day of trouble, so that you would be glorified. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with that prayer. Father in heaven, we do come. And I would ask, Father, that your people would come and decide once and for all, I'm giving myself 100%. I am not holding back anymore. I'm sick and tired of having this to myself or that to myself. Lord, I'm all in. And I want to be that person who offers a sacrifice of praise, of thanksgiving to you. I want to keep my commitments to you so that I can show Jesus to others. And I pray today, Father, that in this day of trouble, that I will bring this to you, and you will deliver me, and you will be praised to the glory of God. For that is exactly what I desire. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll just do the first verse, and if you would like to come and pray with me or just tap me on the shoulder at the end of the service and tell me, you know what, I want to give myself entirely to the Lord, or you want to be baptized when they have the baptism on October 27th. That's another picture of one who gives everything to God. I invite you to let me know, or let one of the deacons or elders know, that you're serious about serving God, of offering yourself to Him.
Oh, Father, we ask that you would just continue to bring us whatever conviction that is from your Holy Spirit, so that we would offer ourselves completely to you in our day of trouble, and that, Lord, that you would be glorified. Help us to keep our commitments to you. Help us to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and help us to love our neighbor as we think so much of ourselves, Father. We pray that, Lord, we would pour ourselves into the lives of other people and show them the Christ who died for us, who was raised on the third day and is sitting at the right hand of the Father today. Help us to demonstrate that through our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.